Good evening. Just before you think, wow, Kevin is just so technologically advanced, he has a laptop on stage. It's actually because Kevin forgot to print his notes before he got here. So, today, this morning, I shared a bit of an update about how things are going at Word of Life. And if you guys weren't here this morning, I am a missionary with Word of Life and Word of Life Canada, part of their Bible Institute and their youth camp. But if you weren't here this morning, then if you were here this morning, I'm not going to tell you the same thing again. And if you want to hear more about it, I have a table out there. I'll be standing out there afterwards so we can talk then. But what I would like for us all to do is open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, okay? And we're going to be looking at the passage that Josh just read a little while ago. But what I love about this passage, especially the first part of the passage, is the word pictures that Paul uses when sharing with Timothy about the dedicated Christian life. And that's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, pictures of a dedicated Christian life. Okay? But first, let's look a bit of background at 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy the book. Now, last words are important. Last words are important. I hope that my last words aren't any of the following. I'm sure we can swim here. That crocodile doesn't look hungry. Or, I'll free climb this cliff if it's the last thing I do. Or perhaps, do these berries look poisonous to you? Or maybe one of my favorites, is this my backpack or my parachute? Right? These are things that I do not want to say as my last words, but last words are often important. And 2 Timothy is a letter of last words. In fact, it was probably the last book that Paul wrote, okay, before he was executed by Nero. And whenever we think about last words, just think about it. If you had only a few more months to live and you had to say something and you knew for certain that this was the only time that you had here on earth and you were going to pass away, what would you do? What would you tell the people that you love? What would you want to share on as your legacy? And that's why I believe 2 Timothy is such a neat book. Because in it, Paul really shares with Timothy what is important in life. In those moments when we think about what would be my last words, we realize what truly is important in life. And I think Paul, in this book, is sharing what truly is important to him. Timothy is the pastor of Ephesus, okay? And he was young, and many people say he was timid, okay? A young, timid guy. And the book is a letter of encouragement, but also warning against false teachers. Okay? Paul exhorts Timothy to continue faithfully in his duties, hold on to sound doctrine, avoid error, accept persecution for the gospel, put his confidence in Scripture, and preach it relentlessly. You see, Paul is concerned. Now, Paul isn't just concerned about his death. In fact, he doesn't seem to be really concerned at all about his death in this book. He is concerned about the continuance of his ministry. And he sees Timothy as the man who is going to take the mantle of his ministry and move on with it. So, as we look at 2 Timothy, let's keep that in mind. And as we look at these word pictures. Okay, to start off, verse 1, it says this, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." It says, "You then, my child." Okay, whenever he's talking to Timothy, he says, "my child." And it's a very loving term. But it also shows that, and a lot of people believe that Paul was the one who shared the gospel with Timothy. Timothy was saved through Paul's ministry to start off. And it's really neat to see Paul's involvement. It didn't just end there. We go on further on. It says this in verse 2. And this is a very important verse to me. If I would say any verse is my life verse right now, I would say 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It says this, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And in this, these first two verses, before I get into these word pictures, I want to talk about the importance of mentorship and discipleship relationships. Mentorship and discipleship relationships. It says, the things you have heard from me, go ahead and teach others also, who will be able to teach others also, who will be able to teach others also. You see a kind of a cycle going on, starting with Paul, going on to Timothy, and going on to others who Timothy would also teach. Paul saw Timothy as a successor of what he was doing, as a successor of his ministry. Paul's ministry was intense, and he saw Timothy as a successor, and he poured into Timothy's life. You see, this book, 2 Timothy, is so personal. It's so personal. Telling Timothy to stir up his gifts, encouraging him, exhorting him to move on, push forward, continue on in the ministry. And it's really neat to see that. And the question is are we being Paul's to someone in our lives today? And are we being Timothy's? See, the cycle that Paul and Timothy lay down, I really think that it is one awesome picture of what discipleship should look like. An older guy pouring into a younger guy's life, teaching him from his experience what God has taught him already, and really pouring into his life. And that's something I'm very passionate about, and something that I get to do at Word of Life all the time. It's a blessing for me. But are we doing it? It is a discipline. It takes discipline to go out of our way and come alongside someone younger and say, I want to share something with you. But if you have been walking with God for a number of years and you have learned so much, you have a responsibility to share with others about how you've grown, what God has done in your life. So, not only that it stops there, that it continues on, but also do we have Timothy's, are we Timothy's as well? Do we have someone pouring into our lives, mentoring us? So, just a little side note, something that's really important to me, and something that impacted me in my first year at Word of Life. Word of Life, you sit through classes, you do ministry, but also we have a discipleship program. And the guy who was pouring into my life for the year, we met once a week, and it doesn't strictly have to look like a once-a-week meeting thing, but we met once a week, and we talked through some of the things that I've been learning, how to practically apply it to my life. So it was really an impacting thing, and I know that has been impacting for lots of other people as well. So, let's look at the passage now that I really want to focus on. Let's read the rest. It says this, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Okay, and these three word pictures are some very, very simple things. And a lot of us have heard them over and over and over again. But what I want to do is, as we're looking at these various word pictures, to really reflect on our own lives and how we can practically apply some principles, simple principles that Paul is passing on to Timothy. In the same way that Paul wants Timothy to practically apply them, how can we practically apply them in our lives today? And I say these are three pictures of the dedicated Christian life. A dedicated Christian life. Sounds good, right? That's what we want, right? If you ask any Christian, hey, do you want to live dedicated to Christ? They won't say, eh. They'll say, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I want to live dedicated to Christ. Just some word pictures that help us understand what it looks like to be living a dedicated life for Christ. And I believe that starts with sharing with others about what God has shown us. But we'll look at the word pictures. First of all, word pictures work for me, and I'm glad Paul uses them because they're just simple. They're easy to understand. I ask you which one applies to you today. The soldier. Okay, first we look at the soldier, an undistracted life. Let me read that again. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Share in suffering. First and foremost, okay, like Aaron was talking about this morning, suffering comes. Okay, hardship comes. It's part of the Christian life, although some people might have you believe otherwise. In fact, some people go so far as to say, believe in Jesus Christ and your life will be peachy. It will be a bed of roses. It will be fantastic. But you know what? Paul out of anyone knows that the presence of hardship is not necessarily the absence of joy. And we see that in Philippians. So a good soldier endures, continues on, despite what might be going through, what we might be going through. Paul, okay, is looking down the end of time right now, and he sees no end that doesn't, you know, he sees him being executed. He sees his life being taken. He is in a prison, and it's not a nice prison, but he goes ahead and says this to Timothy. He says, suffer hardship. Go through suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay. Goes on to say this, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted them. The second part I would say is avoid distractions. The dedicated Christian life avoids distractions. Now, whenever I was on a singing team, I was on this team called the Impact Team back in 2008 and 2009, and we had this skit. Okay, and what we would do is we set down the table, like on a side, and we would pretend we were soldiers, and we'd be like shooting over the wall and stuff and pretending to throw grenades. And it was in the middle of a battle. We were trying to illustrate as best as we can using the cheap plastic props that we were given. And actually, our very own Tim Perry was part of that team. And his role, he would go, bring, bring, and pretend to pick up the phone and stand up in the middle of the battle and go, oh, hey, Susan, how's it going? Oh, yeah, I'm doing fine. Hey, did you see what Larry posted on Facebook? And then, of course, he's shot in the foot, and then we pull him aside. But I think it really, really paints a good picture, okay, of what a distracted person, what it means to be distracted, what it means to be entangled in civilian affairs. What distracts a soldier? Anything that pulls him away from pleasing the one who enlisted him. We're enlisted by Jesus Christ. What is distracting us today? And the question that I have is, are we being entangled by sin? In Romans 7, Paul illustrates this kind of struggle that he has inside. He says, this battle that's going on. What I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Now, at Word of Life, I work with a lot of guys who struggle with various sins. And oftentimes, what I find, what I see is guys will struggle with a sin, feel guilty about it, get forgiveness, but then struggle, feel guilty, get forgiveness, struggle, feel guilty, get in this sin cycle, where they feel like they're by themselves in the struggle. They feel like this thing that they're going through, they can't move forward because there's no cure. Well, one thing that I love to be able to tell them is, first of all, whenever they share with me what they're going through, and that can be so liberating for someone, to be able to come alongside someone who's like, what? And we have to ask pretty hard questions. And some of the guys get pretty uncomfortable. But whenever they're able to share some of the things that they're going through, they feel burden lifted off of them. But further on it says this in Romans 6:18. It says, we're free from sin and we're slaves to righteousness. We no longer are slaves to the sinful nature. The old man is not in charge. It's the new man that we have in Christ. And I find that a lot of the time, the things that are distracting us in life are sins. And sometimes it's a sin that we don't tell anybody about. Maybe there's something that you're going through today. Maybe it's something that you've been struggling with for a while and you feel like it's really been distracting you from living the dedicated Christian life. I would encourage you to tell someone about that. And to really read Romans and really understand that you are no longer slave to sin, but you are slaves to righteousness now. But not only that, that is not the only way that we can be distracted. We can also just be distracted by the world. It's very easy to be distracted by the world, to be entangled by the world. We let other things take precedence, right? We let other things take charge. right? Be it our jobs, money, our relationships, our ministries, even. Out of these things, what is more important than pleasing Christ who saved us? We want to be like soldiers. We want to live an undistracted life. But also we want to be like athletes. And I think it's really cool, this word picture that he uses. Because Timothy and Paul would have seen athletes competing, you know, wrestling and running. So an athlete lives a guided life. I'm going to read that section that says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, London 2012 Olympics, our relay team, okay, they made it to the finals, and you know, nobody thought they were going to do well. I don't know if anybody saw this on TV, but I remember watching it myself. And turns out, the last guy ran across the finish line third. So we won a bronze medal. And everybody was going crazy. Yeah, we won. And it was up in lights. Canada, third place. Wow. You know, that's a big achievement for Canada. But then, after reviewing the tape, we see that one of our racers, one of the runners, stepped slightly out of the line. Stepped just a little bit. And all of a sudden, the name, the third place was taken from us, and they were disqualified just because they stepped a little bit further away from the line. Athletes need to know and respect the rule book. They need to know it well. That athlete, I guarantee you, ran that a million times. Maybe not a million times, but he ran it a lot. And every time he would have thought, don't run on the line, 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 don't run on the line. Because he knew he wasn't supposed to run on the line, right? That's what runners do. They don't run on the line, right? He needed to know that, and he did know that. So whenever they talked to him afterwards, he said, yes, that is what happened. I noticed that, I saw in the replay, and I can't believe it happened. But the question is athletes need to run according to the rules, but are we running according to the rules? Are we respecting the rule book much like an athlete would have to respect the rules? Are we living them on the basis of Scripture? Are we reading God's Word? And that's a simple, simple thing. And I think this word picture, that's all it's sharing about. About really knowing God's Word, but really applying it to our lives. You know, I thought I knew a ton about God's Word. I thought I knew it back to front. I sat through Sunday school. Mr. Hill taught me. So I knew everything. Actually, Mr. Hill, whenever teaching through Exodus, I would always say, that didn't happen in the movie, referring to Prince of Egypt. But anyway. I thought I knew a lot. But then at the very beginning of classes, we did a Bible knowledge survey, okay, a Bible knowledge test to see how much we really knew. And I got to tell you right now, I'll be totally transparent with you, I totally bombed that test. I did improve because we retook it at the end of the year. But it was a testament to me that I don't really know the rule book as well as I thought I did. And even today, I would say, I don't know the rule book nearly as much as I should know the rule book. For example, I didn't know things like, where in the Bible does it say for us to work joyfully? I just said, well, it says somewhere in the Bible to work joyfully. Somewhere in here it says that, and a whole bunch of other things, and it might be in the Ten Commandments. But it wasn't until I was reading through Colossians 3 and I realized where that was applicable, where I could really find that verse and apply it to my life. That's when it really came alive to me. Are we getting into God's Word? Now, I know that a lot of us are. But are we increasing our time in God's Word? Are we loving this book? And this is a challenge as much to me as it is to anybody in this room. Are we loving this book? And not only that, are we applying it to our lives? It's one thing for us to read the rule book and to know the rule book, but to run according to the rules is the important part. Are we being like athletes, living a guided life and following Scripture? Are we setting it as priority? So, we see a dedicated Christian life a soldier who lives an undistracted life, an athlete who runs a guided life, and finally a farmer. A farmer who lives a hard-working life. Once again, a very simple principle. A farmer who works a hard-working life. Farmers work really hard. Don't know if you've noticed. Farmers, I don't know a farmer who doesn't work hard. In fact, I don't believe there's such thing as a lazy farmer, but there might be. I just haven't met one. Okay? Farmers work so hard. And you know what? In this part, it says this, is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. The hard-working farmer, hard-working here, means to labor to the point of exhaustion. Labor to the point of exhaustion. And whenever Paul is talking to Timothy, the practical application is, you need to labor to the point of exhaustion in your ministry, Timothy. You need to be pouring everything into it. Ministry is hard work, but everybody needs to be involved. Everybody needs to be involved. To live a dedicated life, it is good to be reading God's Word. It's good to not be entangled by things, but we need to be doing. We need to be going out and doing. That's why at the Bible Institute, I know I keep harping on, but it's just a great illustration. At the Bible Institute, we ask our students to be involved in the ministry, so they're not just sitting in classes. They're actually going out and doing and being involved, getting involved. Ask yourself, how are you involved in this church today? If you're a member, how are you involved in this church today? If the answer to that question is, I'm not, how can you be involved? For example, VBS, just an idea. But we need to, first of all, be involved. But are we working hard at the ministries that we do have? And this is a challenge to me. Whenever I saw that, labor to the point of exhaustion. Wonder when the last time at Word of Life I labored to the point of exhaustion. And it was a challenge to me, for sure. We need to be hard-working to live a dedicated life for Christ. You know, patience is another attribute often associated with a farmer. In James 5:7 it says this, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains." Now that's concerning the day of the Lord. But also you can pull from this passage as we're looking at farmers and how we need to be hard-working. Ministry isn't always instantly gratifying. And we need to be patient like a farmer is patient. It takes patience. It takes some serious patience to really see your ministry grow, to see God really work through your ministry. So if you're not involved in a ministry, I would strongly urge you to be involved. But don't expect to see instant results. That's kind of one of the things with ministry. But be faithful with God, what God has granted you in ministry. So we see the three word pictures. Paul asks Timothy in the last part here, it says this, "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Ultimately, God would be a source of strength and understanding. But he asks Timothy to ponder on three examples that he gives. And I ask us all to ponder on these three examples that Paul gave Timothy. The soldier. What is distracting us? What sin is dragging us down that we need to give over to God? What thing are we setting as a priority over God's glory? Something to meditate on. The athlete. Are we paying close attention to the rule book, God's Word? Are we applying the rule book to our lives? And the farmer, are we making an effort, and how can we be more involved? Some things for us to think about as we look at Paul's ministry in Timothy's life and how Timothy also was able to share with others as well. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for your word and how applicable it is. I thank you for Paul and Timothy, this relationship that we see in your word and how it showcases to us what discipleship really looks like. But also, Lord, I would just pray that we would seek to be like a soldier, undistracted, to be like an athlete who sticks close to the rule book and be like a farmer who works hard. Lord, I would pray that we would all seek in a very real way to be dedicated to what you would have for us. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.